In a letter read only after his killing spree in Oklahoma, Nebraska earlier this year, Robert Hawkins wrote, "Now I'll be famous." It's hard to say just how big a part the hope for notoriety played in his decision or those decisions of other murderers, but in some cases it's hard to argue that they played no part at all. So what if the news media decided not to publish or broadcast the names of these killers? Why does it seem sometimes the killer gets more and more positive coverage than the victims? Our number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. There were a slew of op-eds on this point after the Omaha incident. Gil Gross wrote one for the Long Island newspaper Newsday after he declined to name the killer when he substituted that day for Paul Harvey. He's also the host of the Gil Gross program on KGO AM in San Francisco, and he joins us today from his home in Los Angeles. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Good to be with you, Neil.
And I should point out that you acknowledge in your op-ed that the killer's identity is a matter of public record, so whether you report it or not, it's going to get out. The point you raise is, should it?
Absolutely. I mean, there were two things that hit me that day, one of which was his request for fame, and the other of which was a story that didn't burst into the national media for another 2 weeks that I found in the Detroit News that day about a little girl named Alexis Goggins. This was a girl, 7 years old. Her mother was being attacked by an ex-boyfriend just out of prison, and Alexis jumped between the ex-boyfriend and her mom and took 6 bullets meant for her mother. She has survived, though she has lost vision in one eye. And I was sitting there with these two stories, this girl who had done this and this guy who had shot and killed innocent people because he wanted to be famous. And then this little girl whose name would probably be forgotten after a one-day news cycle. And it just finally got to me. So I led with Alexis' story, mentioned her name several times, did the Omaha mall shooting, mentioned that the guy wanted to be famous and gave Alexis' name again instead of using his at all.
Mm-hmm. It's a conundrum you run into, of course, on any number of levels. You have to report the name of the killer.
And yes, you do. And I mentioned in the op-ed piece, and I mentioned on the air that day, that there are actually good reasons for doing that. You look at a case like the sniper shootings in the Washington, D.C. area, where reporting their names helped us connect them to crimes that were committed back in the South and originally back to the Pacific Northwest, where the whole thing started. So, yes, so it becomes a matter of focus. It becomes, do we make the focus the killer, which is sort of easy because it's one point of reference instead of many for the victims, or do we make it the victims? And some of the things I object to is that besides so often making it the single focus being the killer and putting his name up, that we, in trying to answer the unanswerable, go on and on about the killer. We talk to psychologists who have never, ever talked to this person, seen no records on them, who just speculate endlessly about their background, what might have set them off. We go on and on about the killer. There's very little distaste for him. We try to find understanding. I understand that, except after 40 years of interviewing some of these people, you're not going to find it. So it becomes a matter of focus, and I think that's where we've kind of gone off the rails.
Well, let's introduce a new voice into the conversation and a new voice to this program. Lisa Shepherd is with us here in Studio 3A. She's NPR's new ombudsman, and she will be with us from time to time on this program to talk about NPR's issues, but also about broader issues in journalism, which is why we invited you in on this one, Lisa. And of course, again, the name of the killer, it's important news.
Well, the obligation of a journalist is to inform society. And so I think really what we're talking about is a matter of proportion. Clearly, the killer's name has to be in the news. It is a matter of public record. It's a fact. It's our duty to inform. But I do agree that often we glorify or give a certain celebrity status to the killer, and that there should definitely be some thought in every news department about focusing more on the victims. Who are the victims? I think we all know the names of the two men who killed, I should say boys, who killed 13 people at Columbine. And we know who tried to assassinate Reagan. And we know the name of the killer better than we know the name of the victims at Virginia Tech. And I don't think anyone would agree that that is right. But What is a story? A story is, why did this guy do it? And I don't think that story can be overlooked either.
It can't be overlooked, but again, I think we fill up far too much with speculation when we just frankly don't know. I don't want to hear from any more psychologists who have never talked to these people. And we fall into cliches about broken homes when we sit at our own jobs next to people from broken homes who have fine lives. I remember, which was kind of a media bias thing, when anytime anybody who had served in Vietnam went off and did something bad, the first thing that jumped up in the reference was Vietnam vet, as if, oh, there was something about serving in Vietnam that turned them bad. These are the sort of things that pop up in this kind of coverage that I think we really have to start thinking twice about.
And the case you pointed out in your op-ed, Gil Gross, was the son of Sam, the .44 caliber killer. And as you pointed out, many of us will remember his name today. And I was in New York that year, listening to you on the radio, by the way, and but I don't remember the name of any of his victims.
New Yorkers will probably remember Stacy Moskowitz because she was one of the last, and her mother really came to the forefront in trying to do something about what we originally called the .44 caliber killer, and then later Son of Sam after the letter to Jimmy Breslin. But you're right. Most people won't know anything about it. And to this day, and you know, we've all had our round of interviewing him, he has no idea why he did it, and neither after all these years does anybody else.
And that becomes, Lisa, a problem, because you are trying to answer that question. I remember after the Virginia Tech shootings,
oh, yes.
It was not just psychologists, teachers, people who taught this young man in one-on-one sessions, people who did know him, and they had no idea.
They had no idea, and yet there was this thirst to find out more about him and know why he did it. And I think, you know, probably the parents of those kids want to know why he did it too. Again, it's just proportion. It's just that you don't spend all your front page, all your airtime on who this kid is. Mm. And again, I did have to look up his name, but I'm sure people could have gotten it, and I don't think that they remember any of the names of the victims. I actually covered this story for the New York Times and went down and went to several of the funerals, so I do remember. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the New York Times wanted me to do at that point was to go out and plop myself down on the doorstep of Chung Sung Wee's house in Centerville, and I just didn't want to do that. I think that kind of reporting is just unnecessary, and it's intruding, and it's voyeuristic. And
I wanted to ask you, in that regard, the New York Times was widely hailed for after 9/11 and, of course, the
right.
terrible number of deaths, the faces of the fallen, and
right.
they did little profiles of every single victim
yes.
They could identify from 9/11. Do they do that in the case of
of
Virginia Tech?
They
and
did.
Other
there were 33 are killed and are 32, and including him. But they did do that. Obviously, the scope of 9/11 in terms of the devastation was such that I think that journalism was hailed wildly, the idea of with people being really, really impressed that the New York Times did that and that they concentrated on really trying to get to the humanity of the victims. One of the things we haven't talked about is that we should try, as journalists, to avoid really getting into writing about who this murderer is and what he ate for breakfast
yes.
and what his hobbies were and, you know, to in any way to sort of sympathize with him.
Let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. Our guests are Gil Gross of ABC Radio News and Lisa Shepherd, NPR's new ombudsman. And let's begin with Christy. And Christy's with us from Bloy. Is that right, Arizona?
Eloy, yes.
Eloy. I could read the E as a B. I knew it couldn't be Bloy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Very fascinating subject. I just wanted to make a comment that the media plays to what Americans want to hear about, and Americans spend millions of dollars at the movie theater on movies where there's a serial killer murdering people and inflicting intense pain and agony, and people just have a fascination, a morbid fascination with this kind of stuff, serial killers. And so the media, of course, is going to give the public what it wants. So I don't necessarily think it's journalists who are at fault for this. It's the American public.
Well, journalists have to make a decision on what to cover. And so it's they do have a choice. If we just went by what the public wanted, there would have been very little coverage of the civil rights movement.
So, but Gil Gross, again, the attention that this story got, clearly the number of people killed that day in Omaha, Nebraska, well, with a gun, it's certainly news. I'm not trying to argue that, but a lot of people got killed in car accidents that day, too.
Yes, and look, there is a fascination because this is out of the ordinary, and that's what news is. It's not the ordinary day's events, and sadly, people getting killed in car accidents, that is part of the ordinary day's passing events. It's that line, you know, what he said in that letter was, now I'll be famous, not now I'll be mentioned in the third paragraph, or not now, well, my name will come up, now I'll be famous. And again, it is that matter of focus that we're talking about. And also, you know, in terms of what that last caller is saying, we do make these decisions all the time. I've only been a news director a couple of times because I like hiring people, but I hate firing people, and that's mostly what that job's become over the last couple of decades. But the first guy I ever fired was a guy, and these are the kind of decisions that we make, even when something's a matter of public record, was a guy, a small town, early in my career, had been stalking an 8-year-old girl, but had never quite followed her home. Other people had always kind of come to her aid before he found out where she lived. Well, I'm driving home, and I hear one of my guys give the girl's name and go, of, and he gave her address. I figured it must have been an oversight. I doubled back to the studio, asked him why he did it. He defended it, saying it's a matter of public record, and that's the last thing he ever did on the air. So we always make these decisions about public safety and about responsibility, even when things are a matter of public record.
We're talking now. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking with Gil Gross of ABC Radio News and with Lisa Shepard, NPR's ombudsman. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can go now to Jim. And Jim's with us from Parker, Colorado.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I will say that I'm in complete agreement with Mr. Gross's point of view on this. And I would give you the following example. About 3 weeks ago, we had a guy kill a person at a center for missionaries here in the area. Then he went home and got on a chat bulletin board on the internet and told everybody that by tomorrow afternoon, everyone would know his name. That's an exact quote. Mm. Then he got himself thoroughly armed and went to a nearby church and killed two people. And during the middle of services, when there were about 3,000 people in the chapel, if he had not been stopped by a citizen, an armed citizen, acting as a volunteer security guard, he would have killed a lot more people. The following day, one of the Denver newspapers published his picture on the front page above the fold and some of his writings from his chat session, including the one, "Everyone Will Know My Name." That makes absolutely no moral or any other kind of sense to me whatsoever.
Hmm.
And beyond that, one of the Denver radio stations played it for 3 more days, and on their morning drive show, 2 days later, they were talking to, as Mr. Gross indicated, psychologists who were trying to explain this away. When I called the producer and took him to task for giving this guy exactly what he wanted and the thing that drove him to do this, the producer had the gall to justify that by saying that, oh, now we're trying to explain to people how they can keep their relatives from doing the same thing, which was a total bunch of hooey. It was all about money and ratings. It was transparent.
Thanks very much for that. And I guess the case where writings were published that most famously comes to mind is the case of the Unabomber.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, for those who don't remember, a man, an isolated, thanks very much for the call, by the way, Jim, who lived in a cabin by himself and wrote these rambling screeds that he sent along with bombs, which ended up killing and maiming several people. It took the federal authorities many years to find him, but partly as a result of publishing his writings is how
yes.
they found him.
Yeah, in the Washington Post, definitely remember that.
His brother, as it turned out, read these in the newspaper and said, I know that style.
Right, and I think that it was just mentioned that is another reason to put out these names, because they do sometimes lead to the killers, or and you mentioned the sniper case.
Exactly. Although, remember, of course, in the Unabomber case, we published his letters, but we didn't know who he was. So we weren't publishing his name, and this goes back to the example of, you know, the Son of Sam killer, as we called him after the Breslin letter, where we did publish things because we were trying to find him to stop a killing spree. So in that case, it wasn't a matter of egging on his fame. He was already committing the crimes. We were trying to find out who he was, and this goes back and. And boy, in my memory, in New York when I was a little kid, to I'll mention his name because he's long dead, George Metesky, the mad bomber.
Yeah.
Sure, who haunted New York for decades.
Yeah, and was eventually discovered, too, at least in part as a result of his writings. So different when it's investigatory, but after the fact, particularly if notoriety seemed to have been part of the motive, Gil Gross, you're suggesting everybody think twice, three times, four times before publishing the name.
I would think, again, look, we're going to publish the name, but again, it's a matter of degree and focus. It's a matter of do we make this person kind of the star of the reports, or do we make the victim the stars, or the criminal process the main thing about these things? You know, these are all difficult things. I was in a hostage situation years ago where the person wanted an hour on WABC radio where I was working in New York at that time. But we did not say, well, of course, you can have your hour on the air. We negotiated for the better part of 36 hours before we made a brief statement. And he released the person who it turned out to be somebody who was an accomplice, but released the person he was supposedly holding.
I'm glad that worked out.
But this is definitely an issue of if you write the name, if you publish the letters, if you give them airtime, then you are in some ways encouraging other people to do this. And that's usually why police and journalists do not cooperate with hostage takers.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Shepherd, our new ombudsman, who will be back on this program from time to time. Nice
I
to have you
so.
On Talk of the Nation. Gil Gross, thanks very much for your time today.
Neil, thank you.
Gil Gross is an ABC radio journalist and host of the Gil Gross program on KGO AM in San Francisco. This is NPR News.